You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. I want to talk more about this Reggie Jackson, Ricky Rubio trade rumor that's been debunked by Stan Van Gundy. Not that the reporting was wrong. The reporting, all it said was that there was a conversation between the Pistons and the Timberwolves about Reggie Jackson and Ricky Rubio, and Stan Van Gundy didn't deny that. He even said it probably happened, although he didn't know. Not sure he didn't know at that point. By the time he talked to the media, didn't check in with Jeff Bauer to see what's what. But the part that Van Gundy denied was that it was going anywhere. And he told Reggie Jackson that. He told the public that. He said no trade of Reggie Jackson for Ricky Rubio. So we know that. The question is, why did this become public? As Van Gundy said, these trade discussions happen all the time. This is what general managers do. This is their job, especially at this time of year. They talk with each other about different trade ideas, different players. I'm sure every player on the Pistons at one point has been discussed by somebody. Same is true of everybody in the league. So, why did this one rumor become public? And I think that is the next step. That's something, when you look at a trade report, a trade rumor, that's one thing to always ask, is why is this one getting out there? Because you can, if you start to look at that, if you start to peel that back, you can see different people's agendas potentially. You can speculate toward them and, you know, maybe get some more of an understanding of how things are working. A lot of that's speculative. It's not always easy to tell why they got out there. But we can look a little deeper in this one. And I can see a few potential people who would be in position to know this and leak it. And really, there are four camps involved. The Pistons, the Timberwolves, Reggie Jackson, and Ricky Rubio. And of course, you know, all their representation, the different people working for the organizations, the players' agents, all of that. So let's start with the Timberwolves. Why would the Timberwolves want this out there? Well, there's reports that they're shopping Ricky Rubio every few months for the last couple of years. Like, this happens over and over. This seems to be right out of their playbook to drum up interest. I could definitely see this being leaked by the Timberwolves as, hey, look it, we could get somebody like Reggie Jackson. That's where Ricky Rubio's value is. This is how high his stock is. Could definitely see that. I could see it potentially, I guess, being leaked by Rubio's camp. You know, trying to maybe drum up some sympathy of, well, look, they're putting him through trade talks again. Maybe he wants out of Minnesota. Maybe he wants to drum up interest. That's a possibility. I could see Reggie Jackson's agent leaking it because, as Van Gundy said, Reggie Jackson's agent is the one who went to the Pistons and said, hey, what's up? What's going on with this? So maybe he just, you know, talking to reporters just to say, hey, look, this is happening. Although the fact that Jackson's agent called after this report emerged, that would be a strange turn there. And then the final possibility I want to talk about is the Pistons leaking it. And, you know, this doesn't have to come from only one. Good reporters get multiple sources. You know, they don't just rely because for this very reason, everybody always has an incentive to leak things. Things are often not leaked unless the person leaking them wants them leaked. A lot of these are design leaks. So you get multiple sources, and so you might need multiple camps with reason to confirm this. So why would the Pistons? I'm not saying the Pistons did, but why might they? And one thing I came up with was, they're trying to send a message to Reggie Jackson. We've talked over and over about this, the selfishness of Reggie Jackson. I don't think it's a huge problem. I don't think he's overly selfish. I think he could pass a little more, look for his own shot a little less. But this is nothing egregious to me. I'm not sure his teammates agree, though. There was a lot of finger pointing about ball movement as soon as he came back. A lot. For a team that was in a pretty decent spot record-wise, and then started to lose too. It all augmented each other, a lot of griping. So Ricky Rubio is the classic distributor, pass first point guard, leaking an interest in him might be a wake-up call to Reggie Jackson that, hey, this is more of what we're looking for in our point guard. One way to get us to trade, another way is to convince Reggie Jackson to alter his playing style a little bit. He doesn't need to become Ricky Rubio. That's not where his skill set is. He has value as a scorer in ways that Ricky Rubio doesn't. But the idea that he could become more like Ricky Rubio, that he could move in that direction, that could be healthy for him, healthy for the Pistons. So that, I think, would be Detroit's motivation for leaking it. Now, a lot of people saw this rumor, shot it down on face value, and said, no, no way. Stan Van Gundy would never want a starting point guard who can't shoot threes. Rubio's such a non-shooter, wouldn't work in the system, wouldn't attract enough attention on the pick and roll. Teams would just go under, make it too easy to defend Andre Drummond, would clog up the entire offense, all those open threes for the wings based off the pick and roll, those would disappear. Drummond's chances would disappear. It would not work. Well, I think that's a mistake to view it just that way. I'm not saying Van Gundy would make this trade. I don't think he would. He said he wouldn't, and I don't think you say that so publicly, so emphatically, if you were even considering it. But I don't think the idea that the Pistons could pursue a point guard who is more of a passer, less of a shooter, is so unfounded. I asked Van Gundy about this. The idea that, of course, every team wants a better shooting point guard. You want a better shooting guard, a better shooting small forward, a better shooting power forward, a better shooting center. You always want better shooting. But relative to the average team, relative to the average personnel, so this includes the players playing around the point guard and Van Gundy's system, does Van Gundy value shooting from his point guard more than average?
I mean, look, it's important from everybody, but again, it's just, it's tough to weigh. I mean, you've got so many factors and so many things you want in any player that it's one of the factors. I wouldn't say that it's of outsized importance, you know, but it's important. I think the fact that, you know, your point guard can shoot certainly makes people play you differently on pick and rolls and things, which you know, opens up other things. So I would say it's important. But, you know, again, I mean, you just have to weigh it against everything else.
This, I believe, is the healthy approach, that shooting is good, but so is defense. Rubio's a better defender, so is passing. Rubio's a better passer. For example, just to use Rubio, there are all kinds of other players who bring a different balance. You have to rework your team. I don't think you want to be too stubborn to pigeonhole yourself and say, we need a shooter at this position. We need a rebounder at this position. I think you have to be more organic with it, willing to do different things. So credit to Van Gundy there, but he left this open that, nah, shooting's not a must. And so Jackson's skills as a shooter are not going to insulate him and make him untouchable or anything like that. We've seen a little bit, though, the effect of shooting on the Pistons with Jackson coming back, because Ish Smith played so much with the other starters when Jackson was hurt. So we can, using NBA Huawei, get a sense of this over a decently sized sample. So here's the lineups I'm looking at. Number one, the shooting guards, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. The center is Andre Drummond. And then the forwards are two of Tobias Harris, Marcus Morris, and John Lure. The Pistons like to say they have three starting forwards. So I include lineups that include any two of those. Okay, we can compare it with Reggie Jackson at point guard to with Ish Smith at point guard. With Reggie Jackson at point guard, the Pistons' offensive rating, defensive rating, net rating has been 109.9, 114.9, minus 5. So Pistons are scoring 109.9 points per 100 possessions, giving up 114.9 points per 100 possessions, and getting outscored by 5 points per 100 possessions with Reggie Jackson and the rest of those players. When it's Ish Smith instead of Jackson, Pistons are scoring 108.8 over 100 possessions, giving up 108.3, and outscoring opponents by half a point per 100 possessions. So better with Ish Smith. Ish Smith, a noted non-shooter, It's better overall. I think it's worth noting, though, that one, the offensive rating is higher with Jackson. Two, in that last stretch before Reggie Jackson came back, as Van Gundy pointed out, the Pistons were just making a lot of shots. The cliche is true for a reason, that it's a make-or-miss league. I don't think their offense was functioning at such a higher level than it was before. They were just in a hot stretch. So I do believe Ish Smith's offensive rating with him on the court there is a little inflated just by a little bit of the run of the luck. I think Jackson's might even be a little low with those lineups, just with the run of the luck. The big difference is on defense. I don't think Ish Smith is a notably better defender than Reggie Jackson. I think there are different factors for that. Reggie Jackson's return coincided with the Pistons going in a slump. Some of that was the lack of offensive ball movement, contributing to the players not giving it their all on defense. So I don't necessarily blame Reggie Jackson for that directly. I do think there are plenty of signs that this offense functions better with a good three-point shooter, more than average. That this offense in particular, with these other players, it's very, very helpful to have a shooter there. But I wouldn't be so completely beholden to it that I wouldn't want the other advantages of a better defender, a better playmaker, better passer. Does that mean trading for Ricky Rubio? No, I don't think so. It could just mean sending a message to Reggie Jackson. You need to become more of this player. You have the ability to defend better. That's been one of my biggest disappointments with Reggie Jackson, is that his defense is not what it could be. He's got good length. He's reasonably strong. He could be so much better of a defender than he's been, and that's been my biggest disappointment with him in Detroit. I'm not as low on him offensively as a lot of others. I think he could be better on that end, of course. The Pistons might be trying to motivate him into it, but the defense can be better, especially. That's something where Ricky Rubio shines. I think it's very possible that as much as Van Gundy laughs off, oh, where do you guys get these leaks and all of that, that everybody uses these leaks, acts as an anonymous source, to serve their best interests. I don't necessarily think the Pistons are above that. What the Pistons are below, changing gears, is the Rising Stars Challenge. Those rosters just came out. No Pistons on it for the second straight year. It's a little bit of a bummer, I guess, though it's not as if there's anybody you thought would make it. Stanley Johnson didn't make it last year, caused a little bit of grumbling. Definitely wasn't going to make it this year. He's taken a major step back. He's come around a little lately, but not enough where you feel confident in him. Henry Ellenson, not much playing time. He's been buried. Maybe he'll get there. But there's a lot of bright young talent in the league. Depending on how you classify Drummond, not sure the Pistons have much of it. Drummond is young, but these are first and second year players. That's no longer Drummond. Drummond came into the league very young. So some guys on the roster, they're age-wise, and I think that's more important. Drummond might be a little closer to this than his years of experience, but Drummond is not quite the youngest. The Pistons are running into this point a little bit where they're no longer super young. They're not to their peak yet, a lot of their players. There's a lot of room to grow, a lot of time to grow, but the Pistons could start getting caught from behind by other teams. The 76ers, for example, have a few players in this game. Obviously, Joel Embiid, but also Dario Saric and Jahlil Okafor. So they have all these other draft picks coming. This is going to be a team that the Pistons are going to have to compete with, who's coming up strong from behind. That's tough. Detroit's big advantage was supposed to be their cohesion. They had a pretty young roster, the youngest roster weighted by playing time last year to make the playoffs. Bring back that core, upgrade the bench a little bit. Thought the team could have some cohesion. It's been the opposite. They've often looked disjointed. So that advantage is out the window. The advantage of super young, talented, and productive players, the Pistons don't have that. The advantage of very good veterans, Pistons don't have that. They're kind of caught in the middle. I think they're young enough where they can get out of this with cohesion. I don't know where they refine that cohesion. It's tough. They've kind of locked themselves into this a little bit, but I do think they are young enough. And look, there is always room to go up. There's internal improvement, and that's where the Pistons have to rely on. But you can get external improvement too in some unexpected places. You can be smart in free agency. You can draft smart. There are always opportunities. The Pistons have no untradeable contracts. There aren't many of those around the league. And by untradeable, I guess that's not the right word. The better word is negative value contracts. And I define that as you would have to give up a positive asset to dump that player. If the Pistons want cap room, if they want max cap room for multiple players, if they just want to completely blow it up, they could trade every single player on their roster, no problem, and get back expiring contracts. The rest of the league would love the Pistons to do that. Every single player. Not have to give up any future picks, anything. They'd get a lot of picks back. How many first rounders would Andre Drummond fetch? And you go down the list. Plenty of players who they could just very easily trade. So blowing it up, it's always right there. This is not a stuck team, but it is a team that has taken its path. Path so far is not working. Van Gundy has said they plan to stick with it. We'll see as we come closer to the trade deadline. There are going to be more rumors. I hope this is a little educational, this podcast, on one way to assess these rumors. Not just whether they're true or false, or whether they will end up resulting in a trade, but why they became public. Why teams or agents or players or whomever let this one get out. We'll have more on all these trade coverages. We'll have more on a couple other outside podcasts tomorrow. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter @DanFeldmanNBA. Thanks for listening.